We're live.
Welcome, BBS. This is the Wednesday call, and it's waiting.
I'll be here just one moment.
Okay. I'll just be holding the energy for everyone. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, this is Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
Wind's looking for you.
Yeah, I just came in.
Okay. We've got Terry, right?
Yes. I'm here.
Terry, say a couple words.
Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Hi. I think you have to move the microphone away from your mouth a little bit. It's too loud.
Too loud, okay. Is that better?
Still too loud. A little further.
Is there a way to adjust the volume? Well.
No, just. Well, there is, but it's too complicated.
Okay.
So just move it really far away, okay? Because that microphone is really sensitive.
Okay, is that better?
I think that's better, yeah.
Okay.
How many inches is it away?
3.
Maybe try 5.
Oh, you have to bend it.
Pardon me?
I have to bend it. Okay.
Bend. Okay, that's better. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Lynn and Terry in Sedona.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And this is our Wednesday night call. This is January 6, 2016. And, you know, today is a very interesting Wednesday. And let me just double check here. Okay, let me mute that stuff there. Okay. Well, you know, it's very interesting this evening because I don't think we have hardly any questions. Actually, we do have 3 questions. Okay? And I don't know if that's good or bad that we don't have questions. Maybe it means that everybody knows everything, and
waiting for New Year's.
Pardon me?
Maybe they've been all celebrating for New Year's.
Uh-huh. New Year.
You know, I wanted to say something concerning with questions, I think it was last week. There was a couple in Chicago that were trying to get pregnant, and they wanted to know if there was anything going on. They're fine. They seem fine, but it's not happening or wasn't happening. And I did a channeling on it, but then after the channeling was over, I got something more. They kept giving me something more. And if those people are listening now, it was that they should do some investigation into the importance of pH of the people's bodies when they're attempting to get pregnant. And they should do some really good research on that and then adjust their bodies to the best pH. So anyway, I wanted to say that came in afterwards. Sometimes things keep coming in afterwards, after the channeling's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just, we actually do have a few questions. And if any of you are listening and want to submit a question, hurry up and do it, because we have room for it tonight. And I want to say what's on my mind, okay? What's on my mind is that there's a pattern that I watch with humans. And we get to a place of stasis. You know what stasis means? You know what stasis means, Terry?
Yeah, I do.
What does it mean?
It's where everything feels comfortable and you don't move forward and you just are in the rut.
Stasis, from the Greek, may refer to a state of stability in which all forces are equal and opposing, and then they cancel each other out. Okay? It's a block or little or no evolutionary change in the species. In the punctuated equilibrium model of evolutionary biology. Okay? These are all different meanings of stasis. But what happens is that, you know, we come together, and when you first come onto these calls, there's an aha experience or a wow, can this be true? And then there's the paying attention to it and watching the consistency of it. And it keeps validating itself. And I think that the people that keep coming to the calls are having certain epiphanies. What's an epiphany? Do you know what an epiphany is, Terry?
No.
You don't know what an epiphany is?
Something good.
Okay. I better not ask any more questions. Okay. Okay. Epiphany. Here's some interesting things here. Somebody had an epiphany. And he said what it was. Okay. Hang on. Here we go. Let's see. Sometimes the reason good things are not happening to you is because you are the good thing that needs to happen to other people. That's a good one. I just realized something today. No one's ever going to care about me the way I care about them. It's just plain and simple. I just care too much, and yet I still found the strength to monitor how much person I cared about me back. I took the time to be hurt by those that didn't care as much. However, I realized that none of that mattered because I only care about myself, and the only thing that matters or makes me happy is how much I care about other people. I could have been using that energy to care more. So, epiphany, that's not a good definition of the word epiphany, but that probably is an epiphany. Epiphany is when you have a realization, okay? Epiphany means manifestation, demonstration, or revelation in God. The term, I had an epiphany, is like a eureka moment, meaning that you had a moment of revelation when the truth became known. So, when I say people are having epiphanies, it's like we have learned so much on these calls about the way everything works. And for many people, they do have aha experience because it makes sense. It's the way it all holds together. And everybody has some kind of reality system, some kind, even if it's what's on TV tonight. Okay? And here we are in our reality systems, and in some cases contracted, like we believe things are a certain way, and sometimes they're expanded because they have wisdom in them. So an epiphany, to me, is something that causes someone to expand their reality system, to see things from a broader perspective. And then we have another one, and it goes further and further. At a certain point, there's this highest truth, which has to do with manifestation. How do you take epiphanies? How do you take realizations and make things work, make things change, express your care to someone else without being rejected or without worrying if you're rejected, okay? Obviously, just the fact that we do these calls 3 times a week is an expression of care on my part and Terry's part, because there's so much good wisdom and so much good energy that comes in on these calls. But there's a saying that goes, to whom much is given, much is expected. Or do you reach back? What are you doing? What are you doing to take these gifts and make them manifest in some way? How do we do it? I ask that every day because I think I've had many, many gifts here. And I also get very frustrated because I know there's a deep level of truth in what we put on these calls every week. And I think the whole world should change because of it. And it's like, how do you make a change? What do you do? I think these are some of the questions, if we run out of questions tonight, that I am going to ask, okay? And right now, and some of you know this, the world is in deep doo-doo. And I don't want to be the person to say that, but I've known it for a long time. And it's like I was hoping against hope that it would fix itself. And some people think that it has fixed itself. And I hope they're right. But there's so many precarious things in the world right now. And in some way, shape, or form, it's up to us to fortify ourselves in some way. So it's, what hits the fan, we are not just sitting there saying, why didn't somebody tell me? an ounce of preparation is worth a pound of cure, okay? How many of you have stored some food? Okay, how many of you have helped someone? How many of you are building community? And if things break down, who are you going to count on? Can you count on your family? Who can you count on? How do we count on each other? And if suddenly, I can't even imagine how it would look. And you know what? I don't think I should project out that it all has to happen that way. But so many people are saying that it will. One of the things that I saw that I thought was a really great idea, and I don't even remember who was doing it, was somebody went to the library and sold the library on the idea of having a seed bank. And then the farmers were bringing their seeds to the library, and the library was going to store them. So if there's some kind of crisis, there's seeds to grow food. I don't know if this has changed, but at one point, Monsanto, who is one of the worst companies out there when it comes to the New World Order and everything, Monsanto was changing the formula on seeds so they would not normally if you grow something, you can take the seeds off of it and plant more seeds. But Monsanto was creating the breeding of seeds, so that wouldn't be possible. So you would have to buy more seeds from Monsanto. But certainly more seeds were available, okay? And, there's one thought that what's called the negative out there would like to kill off 3/4 of the world's population. And Monsanto seems to be a company that represents the intent of that negative, because Monsanto is not only responsible for seeds, they're also responsible for GMOs and probably other things. I'm sure other things for years and years. And they're fairly dishonest. If you look it up, you find they ignore tests and studies. They just look it up. Look up Monsanto New World Order, and you'll probably draw the conclusion that Monsanto is not a very good company. And so in any case, it's like we can all slap each other on the back and say hello, but I think each of us underneath is thinking, anxiety for what's going to happen. And if you let somebody in your life, are you going to be there for them? Or if they're in trouble, are you not going to be there? And say, I only want people that are okay. I'm not saying you should be there. I'm saying that this is like, where does I am my brother's keeper start and stop? Okay? That's what Jesus said. And love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, but my neighbor doesn't love me back. What am I going to do? You know, everyone has to balance themselves in between how much you can give to someone else before you can't take care of yourself. Because you should be giving of your excess, whether it's emotions, feelings, time, or money. Once you don't have an excess, it's pretty hard to give, okay? So how many of us have excess? What could you do to have excess? These are questions we should be asking ourselves. Because to be a good giver, to actually love your neighbor as yourself, and say, I better get some excess. I say this to myself, too. I'm not immune to this. How do you get some excess so you have extra for other people? Extra time, extra food, extra care. You know, when somebody has a need, how can you be there for them? And I'm just, you know, bringing it up, okay? And when you're asking questions on a Wednesday, it's a good time to ask the questions about yourself and what you need to have excess, and what you need to not only take care of yourself, but to take care of someone else. I remember someone saying that, and I don't know if it's true, but they said it, and they were fairly wise. It might have been true. They were saying that, you know, by actually creating a loving connection with their parents in this life, they completed their karma, and everything else was just a bonus. And I can relate to that. You know, there's a place where you know you have given. And in the giving, when you're giving to yourself in another person, and they're receiving, and if you can help one person graduate this realm, you have also helped yourself graduate this realm. How do you help someone graduate this realm? Well, I do believe there's people on this line that are going to graduate this realm. I think so. Probably because of some of the stuff that's happened on these calls. And I know that in a certain sense, I could say, I have done my job. I've put this into the world, and I don't have to continue it. I don't have to. I will. What is this noise coming in?
Oh, I got a telephone call. We got a telephone call.
Okay.
I tried to answer, but I couldn't.
You know. Okay. Why do we have an echo?
Did it just start?
All callers are muted.
Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Well, you know, let's go with our questions for tonight. And I'm sorry to give such a sobering kind of intro to this call, but it's kind of what's going on in my mind and I thought I'd share it, okay? And I hope somebody gets inspired. You know, we're doing another reading club Thursday, tomorrow, on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And, you know, that really does have a huge amount of great keys. And the Rod Group really says it like it is. They don't pull punches. They don't, you know, just say, let's feel good. There's a seriousness about all of this. And, you know, the Rod Group or the Quo Group, who's coming through Carla, call themselves the Brothers and Sisters of Sorrow, which, if you think about it, at first it sounds like a strange name, because why aren't they the Brothers and Sisters of Joy? And I think they have dedicated themselves to be in this realm, and there's a huge amount of them, and so few people hear their message. They say that for them, if one person graduates the realm because of some effort, it's a huge accomplishment, because it's so hard to graduate. They said the last time there was an end of a 25,000-year cycle, almost no one graduated. Maybe no one. I can't remember. Now, there were a number of people that could have graduated, but they didn't. They decided to stay here because they knew how to be of assistance here. And the people that are holding the space in a physical body are really important. I mean, we think, you know, we can look at the Elohim and the Rod Group, and they're way up there. If they don't have somebody in a body to bring stuff through, then nobody knows they're there. So we're doing that. Carla Ruckert did that. But how many people do it? Not many. Throughout history, not many. So in any case, let me just make sure. Now that I said it, we got some questions. Okay. Let me just see if there's any more questions. Okay. I think we got them. Terry, I'm going to call in the light. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke the group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. As we tune into your third density, we see the images of the things that are going on, the items in the news that are wafting through the airways on not in a form that you can see, but in the unseen thought forms that are passing through your airwaves. It is very important when a people are thinking certain things that these thoughts, they are available, they are wafting through the airwaves like a radio station that has not yet been tuned in, and they are affecting human behavior unknown to the individuals who are busy thinking these thoughts. Do you have questions?
Yeah, do you have any comments on what I was saying when I opened up the call tonight?
Yes. There is a bigger plan. There is work being offered and done with individuals who are moving individually through their life. Carla Rucker has commented that if you have a question that is not applicable in the future, but is simply applicable in one instance, that it is not the best question. Something that would be applicable 10,000 years from now also is a better question. So when you are building overall for not just this life, but your future as a being, you do not need to put all of your energy into the current local situation, but keep one energy strand to the heavens so that you can balance anything that's going on in the present in your local density.
Thank you. First question is from Bonnie in Corona. I am in Corona, California. I am so grateful for this rare opportunity, and you have been so helpful by answering some very specific and personal questions. I would like to know more about who I was before I came to the Earth realm. Was I female? What kind of body did I have? Did I leave my family behind? What was I doing so far from home? When and where on Earth did we crash? And what happened to our craft? Thank you. Bonnie.
Thank you. Yes, you were far from home. And you had a family. However, you had chosen to be on the mission rather than to be a homebody. You in your wandering mode, you at the time, we see you as in a male body at the time when you were traveling.
Thank you. Next question. From Jim in Medford, New Jersey. Recent calls reminded me of a thought. It has to do with a story shared by Christ in the Gospels. It is the story of the wheat and the weeds. The weeds representing negative grow in and among the wheat. They cannot be separated without uprooting the good plants. Only during the harvest can they be separated. Is there significance to this story in our current time in the studies of this group? Thank you.
Thank you. It could apply to people. However, it could apply to one's own ideas and one's own belief systems in this realm, so that some ideas, belief systems a person has, fortify them and help them grow and move forward. Other belief systems that they have hold them back and are maybe not known to the individual that it is a belief system that can hold them back. When one looks at their belief systems in terms of the world around them, one can see whether it is a belief system that fosters outreach, growth, and communication, or if it is a belief system that does not foster growth and fosters contraction. Contraction can be felt within the body when the person has a belief system that leads to contraction, that can could consider it as a weed. When they have that belief and it makes them contract, that is one of the characteristics of whether a belief system is helpful or not. However, we wish to say that sometimes when an individual is in a situation that requires construction, that is something to be considered, as that is normal and perhaps useful. It is when the belief system that has caused contraction has become outmoded and outgrown its usefulness, but keeps on hanging there, that it becomes detrimental.
You know, when we talk about wheat and weeds, and we apply that to a human that might have attachments, so to speak, and in some of the conversations, it's been indicated that many, many people have attachments. Could we consider attachments to being the weeds?
We do not like to consider attachments to be the weeds, as that can be very valuable elements of life, and can regain their true glory.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. The attachments are actually, many of them are former beings that had bodies, yes?
Yes.
So we're actually their caretakers if they're hitchhiking along with us. Yes, of sorts?
Of sorts, yes.
No. Okay. Let's see. This is from Jen Stafford, She didn't give her city, but it's not exactly a personal question. It has to do with our name on the other side, if we have one. Do we have a soul name other than the name we have in this lifetime? Since we incarnate many times, possibly on many planets, how do we identify ourselves to others when we cross?
Thank you. Everyone has a soul signature that is known in their vibrations. And this is recognizable, your own soul signature, your own soul vibration. At some point, sometimes in the past, this own soul vibration has allowed the person to be given a name. However, the name changes with the location, with the people involved. So your own name can be even widely known in one group, but then in another life, although it still resonates throughout, it can be there, but not what you are labeled in another life. It is your soul signature, your soul vibration that sometimes you are named for, like in the Indians, when somebody may be named Big Hunter or may have a name that has something to do with the way they express themselves. You have your soul signature. And in the cosmos, you can be known by that name that your soul signature brings up the image of.
Thank you. Next question is from Cleo in Connecticut. And she asks, she's curious about something called spontaneous human combustion, where humans suddenly set themselves on fire, but just through energy, I would assume, and or maybe someone puts a beam on them to do that. Regardless, it has happened historically, and she's asking, is it caused by a combination of diet and internal chemicals? And is there a way to prevent it from occurring? And Cleo, you didn't ask this, but I'd like to ask, is there a reason why Cleo has a particular interest in this? Thank you.
Thank you. This is a phenomena that when an individual, usually older, has a combustible combination, chemical combination within their digestive tract or their system, can be set off as it grows in heat. It can set off a combustion. However, it is also a That is one reason that this can happen, but there is another reason, and that is where the Kundalini energy can begin to race through the spine or various parts of the body and can begin to have so much energy and generate so much heat that it can start even in various parts of the body where the energy is highest and can't just begin to burn. It is an energy phenomenon. Fire is where the energy, the frequencies have gotten so high that they take over the physical that the energy is playing on, and begin to transform, morph, and burn the matter that it encounters. There is a way that sometimes when one is having pictures that they do not care for, they can burn the picture off and burn the picture up. That is another form of burning of the manifest in the pictures that one might be having.
Thank you. Next question from Rich Buckley in Livermore. And he used the concept here, and I went and looked it up. So I'll read his question, and then I'll read the concept to make sure that it's understood. The question, about the concept of a singularity in a supermassive black hole, would you discuss what occurs in a singularity in a supermassive black hole? What happens to all the energy? Is there something behind a singularity? Now, I just looked up a singularity, and here's the way it's described. In the center of a black hole is a gravitational singularity, a one-dimensional point which contains a huge mass in an infinitely small space, where density and gravity become infinite, and space-time curves infinitely, and where the laws of physics as we know them cease to operate. So maybe you could talk a little bit about black holes, and Rich also asked about that. He said, do black holes dictate the galaxy, or does the galaxy dictate the size and characteristic of the black hole? All galaxies seem to have supermassive black holes in their center. Thank you.
Thank you. As you have the spinningness of the galaxy, this creates a tremendous force that is spiraling in on the center of that force. So when you have a spiral, you have an area within the center that is has intense pressure and force that is pushing it further and further into density. The spinningness brings in matter, and the matter then falls into the spinningness within the center, and it is transformed into a density where it cannot even emit light.
Is all spinningness creating points of even small black holes? Like, for example, if you have an atom that has spinningness, does it create the equivalent of a black hole that a galaxy would create?
It is similar, although on a much lesser scale.
Mm-hmm. And does the Earth, as it rotates, create a similar but smaller principle?
Give us a moment. It creates within its center very dense matter that is heated.
Okay, last question for the night is from Isis. And where is Isis? Okay. Isis is Joe's friend. Okay. And so.
Yes.
I think last time I heard she was in New York. But in any case.
LA, actually.
She's in LA.
She's in Washington
now. She's in Washington?
In Snohomish. Yeah, Seattle. Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Thank you. I was told in a reading previously, I had a strong connection with Mozart, the composer, and I have felt it all my life as well. My question is, why was I born on Mozart's birthday? And, I mean, I should add, is there any significance to that, or is it just coincidence? Why was that important to me in this lifetime? Anything you can share?
We take a look and see that you do have a connection with Mozart. And why were you born on his birthday? There is a significance to that. Mozart was a part of your life at the time, and the connection is very strong. Thank you.
So, are you saying she wasn't, are you saying she was or she wasn't Mozart, or she was a friend of Mozart, or you don't want to get any more specific than that?
We wish to speak of the connection. However, we wish to leave it open. Perhaps these words will help open the memory more for her. We wish it to be a memory that unfolds for her.
Okay, thank you. And it's 7:55, and I think we'll bring this call to a close. Okay. Just a moment. Thank you all for being here. And thank you, Terry. Thank you, Colleen. And thank you, our sources, for being present on these questions. I'm going to unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you. I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.